The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are back, second hour on this Friday afternoon. Thanks so much for being a part. We spent a little bit of the first hour, in case you were just joining us, in Omaha, reviewing last night and looking ahead to this weekend. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Right now, let's check in with Gary, who is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up with what's been going on the last couple of days with the program and say that I've listened to you for quite a number of years, as you might know. And I think part of the reason that your audience has increased has been not because of Alabama football, but simply because of you. This is my opinion. I remember when I first started listening to years ago, a friend who was an ACC fan told me about the SEC network and you being on Jocks even. And you were a lot shorter with people. I mean, it was kind of funny at times who was going to get hung up on and how long they'd be on. And anymore, you take a little bit more time out to listen to people, and it's on a lot broader scale. And I like I told you earlier, there's a lot of coal miners out there in the basin areas that listen to you and certainly aren't SEC fans, but your program means a lot to a lot of people, and it's just because of how you have managed and present yourself and the interest you've maintained.
Gary, thank you for saying that. And I think it's always difficult when someone starts talking about themselves in the third person. But I do think years ago I didn't have patience. I didn't understand a lot about what we were doing here, and I learned. And I think being here now for almost 10 years and having the show broaden has been healthy for me, and I'm appreciative of the fact that you think it's been that way for the audience. And you know, there are a lot of factors involved in anyone's growth. I think it just took me a while to mature, but I appreciate you saying that.
You've done a good job. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And of course, you have the callers, like a few unnamed, who much preferred the way the show used to be. I think we had one of those guys on earlier. How about Chris up next in Alabama? Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on Auburn football team this year. You know, Auburn is always they unpredictable. You never know how they're going to come out. I've been an Auburn fan ever since I was 12 years old. I'm 57 now. Auburn is just like old Forrest Gump fan. You never know what you're going to get, you know, until the season starts and they start playing. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Chris, I feel good about Auburn. I think the schedule number could be any number. It could be 6 wins. It could be 8 or 9 wins. So much depends on the beginning of the year. Auburn needs to take care of those first 3 games. If they do, that's 3 wins. So then you start hunting for the next win. You've got a 3-game stretch, October into November, where I think you can get 3 wins. I think, and that gets you to 6. You got 7 in New Mexico State, and can you get above that? Meaning you're going to have to beat A&M. I don't think that's happening. You have to win at Arkansas. I don't see that. So I land on 7-5. That's how I see it.
I was about right along in there, at least 8 somewhere along in there. If they pull one of them out of them gauntlet,
well,
they got to run
Chris,
through.
Everyone remembers 10 years ago when a 7-5 prediction would have gotten you arrested because you would have been insane. Most people were thinking 4-8, and Auburn played for the national championship. Things can happen.
Yeah. But I've been with them this long. I'm not changing on them. I'm always going to be there for
Chris,
them.
You have no reason to change. And one thing I think that Auburn fans are excited about is at least the program is heading in a really good direction. I've been around Coach Freeze a couple of times lately, and he really has a great hold of that program. There's great alignment. There's great support. And that has been missing for 5 or 6 years. Even the last couple of years of Gus Malzahn, there was always a controversy, always somebody trying to get him fired. Roman is up next in Florida. Hello, Roman.
What's up, Paul? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I'm in a two-house-divided household, and I wanted you to help me kind of pick a side. My dad's a really big LSU fan. That's where he went to school. And my mom went to Alabama, and that's where she went to school. And they're both diehard fans. They have to watch the game in separate rooms. And I've been to both campuses. Both are very nice. I'm just, who do you think I should pick?
Now, Roman, tell me a little bit more about yourself. Do you have a preference? Forgetting your parents for a second, which is not easy to say, mm-hmm. but of the school, of the two, do you have a preference?
LSU, for sure. I have grandparents that live in Baton Rouge, so I get to go to LSU games not quite often, but every once in a while, you know.
Yeah, I hate to have you turn your back on your mom, but I would.
Yes, sir. She even she turned my initials to RTR.
Yeah, no, that's a Bama fan for you. You got to get away from that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
No, I hear these stories all the time, and if your parents are who I think they are, they're going to cut you a little bit of slack.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Especially after watching that LSU baseball game last night, it's hard not to side with LSU.
I think I would. Here's the good news, Roman. You can always change your mind later.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that. You're right, Paul.
How did your mother end up being a Bama fan? Was she from there?
Yes, sir. Her parents went there. My mom's grandparents went there, and she just went to school after them. She was an athletic trainer, so she got to be in the locker room with the players.
How long have your parents been married?
I think 16 years, maybe.
And that's hard to believe because this has been a very contentious time between Alabama and LSU. They seem like they've gotten through it.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Now, do they get once the game's over? Do they talk?
It's hard. You gotta wait a night or few, but
okay.
Yes, sir. It's kind of rough after the game, but you know, yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's just competitive, very competitive.
Yeah. I would imagine after this year's game that went to overtime, won by LSU, it was probably pretty quiet in the house.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. That was not a day to mess with my mom, yes, sir.
Yeah, don't go up to your mom and say, hey, I see Nick Saban blew that game. That's probably not a wise thing to say, is it?
Yeah, yes, sir. I probably get punished for a little bit, yes, sir.
Yeah, well, Roman, thanks for asking the question. I hope we've guided you well, but... keep us posted. You hear Alabama Auburn, you hear Florida Florida State. I've rarely heard an Alabama LSU divided house. That's a new one on me. Trey is up next. Hello, Trey.
How you doing today, Paul?
Hey there, buddy.
I was wanting you to sell me that A&M is going to do good, and also for the Roman, don't do like I done. I made my decision on my team whenever I was 4 years old, and it's been a wild ride. We've also had some fun moments. I wouldn't trade it, but probably not best to make your decision on your team when you're 4 years old.
Hey, Trey, what was your other choice other than Arkansas?
None.
Oh, okay. So you just – well, you made the right decision then.
Yeah, Arkansas was – I was born in Harrison and have been an Arkansas fan since I was 4 years old.
Well,
I'm 15 as of right now, and I've lived through Chad Morris, John L. Smith, and all that.
Well, things are looking up, Trey. You be well. You take care of yourself. Thanks for the call. We'll take a break. We have Matt Stinchcomb, bottom of the hour. We'll talk some college football with him, more baseball later on, more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Let's continue. Jason is up next in Alabama. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. You remember me from yesterday?
I most certainly do, yes.
Okay, so listen, you know how you get on to old Jim about how he takes things so offensive and stuff?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a figure of speech, right? I mean, he wouldn't be able to call your show every day if he was literally crazy, right? And so I have fun with my daughter. I'm a single dad, so I just have fun with my daughter. And I didn't mean to make the man mad. And so I just needed to get that out there. And I really take offense to him calling me a bad father. I didn't really appreciate that too much.
Yeah, I think that's always a dangerous thing when you start characterizing someone else and how they handle their children when you have no earthly idea.
Right, that's exactly right, yeah. But let me tell you a story, though, about, I think I heard somebody earlier say after that 2013 Auburn-Alabama game, they drank too much after the pick six, Yeah, my daughter was born that same night. I'll never forget that night. My daughter's mom is 14 years younger than me, so, you know, I shouldn't have done it. But anyway, after that game, I drank, and she calls me, I think, at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, telling me I had to come to the hospital. Yeah, so it's just one of them things.
But so, Jason, the game ended about 6 o'clock at night. You were unhappy, to say the least, or you were happy. Or you were an Alabama-Auburn fan.
No, I'm an Alabama fan.
So you were unhappy after the game, and then you find out you had a daughter?
Well, I knew she was pregnant. I knew it was about time, but I didn't know. It was the worst time to have a friggin' baby, man, after that game.
Yeah. So Jason, what happened? I'm assuming you made it to the hospital?
No, my sister took me to the hospital and met her.
So were you? How far gone were you at 10 o'clock at night?
No, I'd already fell asleep. So okay. I was all right. Yeah, I took a nap.
And when you found out you had a daughter, how did you react?
That's kind of a personal question. Well,
by the way, Jason, I thought it was one of the easiest questions I've ever asked anyone, but I'll take it back.
No, I don't regret it.
But I've never asked anyone about having a child after they were drunk after a bad loss. That's a new one on me.
Yeah, I don't regret it, but
okay.
it was tough. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, like I told you yesterday, I'm one of the biggest Alabama fans you'll know.
Right.
But I will tell you this, growing up as a kid, I used to have to listen to my dad read your articles all the time. And he would get so mad at you, Paul. Mm. Yeah, and you remember those days, don't you?
You know, Jason, I've tried to forget those days when people used to get mad and wanted to kill me. That I don't think much about that anymore.
Yeah, my mom, I told her yesterday I called you for the first time, and she told me, she's like, yeah, Paul used to stir things up all the time. And, yeah, so anyway, I'm not trying to keep you long, man, but I just wanted
to
tell Jim that it's a figure of speech, man. You know, I have fun with my daughter, and that's how we have fun sometimes. So.
Sure.
That's all.
Well, I am glad to hear that, Jason. You be well, and you take care of yourself, and I'm glad we could talk that one through. Bill is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Paul. I'm glad to be on your show.
Thank you.
I have a question about the LSU vacated wins.
Okay.
But before that, I want to interject. You were talking about Tennessee baseball at the beginning of the show. They got eliminated last year in the Super Regionals
right.
by Notre Dame.
It sure did.
But anyway, my question about LSU, the vacated wins, my question is a vacated win and a forfeit the same thing?
No. I believe a forfeit is a loss. A vacated win means what? You just don't get to win? The game just goes out the window, at least according to your history books. Because I've seen some cases where coaches end up having to forfeit 3 or 4 years of games, and their record suddenly, you know, goes to pot. Yeah.
Okay. So let's just say, taking this case with LSU, for example, if those wins are vacated, does that mean the teams that they played, their record gets...
No. I think the only thing it really means is that coach doesn't get credit for a win.
Okay. So the other team doesn't get credit for the win.
No, I don't think it affects... It's a good question, but I don't think it really affects the other team.
Okay. All right. But a forfeit would
Yeah, they used to use forfeits, and I think they're getting away from that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It was just a question.
It's really by the way, neither really means very much after the fact. It just shows you how weak the NCAA is, that they feel like they have to do something. It just doesn't mean anything. And thanks, you can't take away something that we all saw. 5 years later, 3 years later, it doesn't have any meaning. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. John is up next. Good afternoon, Sean.
Paul, did you watch that game last night?
I certainly did. What about it?
I think Paul Skeens, I've been covering college baseball for a long time, and there's been some good ones, but I think he is the best college pitcher I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, there has been some comparisons to Strasburg, to others. But, yeah, I mean, he is a generational pitcher.
And since we're talking a little baseball, Paul, I think what Major League Baseball is doing next summer, and I'm sure you're very familiar with the ballpark in Birmingham, but they're going to honor Willie Mays and the Negro Leagues next year between the Cardinals and the Giants. And they're going to play in that ballpark where Willie Mays played with the Black Barons until the Giants signed him and he went to New York. It should be a pretty good weekend.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that, John. I was really excited to hear that. And having spent all those years in Birmingham, Willie Mays has had a very complicated history with Birmingham. And for many, many years, there was an effort to reconcile and I mean, he's in his 90s now, and I'm hoping he's able to make the trip. He's not well, but he is. I've had so many conversations in the past with players that played with him on those teams, and this is going to be truly a remarkably historic day for baseball and especially for Birmingham. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll take a short break. We come back, much more to come, including a conversation with Matt Stinchcomb about the upcoming college football season after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We are back. Always good to check with Matt Stinchcomb about the upcoming season, and it is upcoming. Matt joining us from his home. Matt, thanks for the time. Let's start with Florida. And I bring that up because there's been so much chaos off the field. It looks like now maybe Billy Napier is scoring some big wins on the recruiting trail. I bring this up because you've seen that program lately. The roster is not what it needs to be. Where are they right now, and how long do you think it's going to take for that program to get back to where its fans think it should be?
Yeah, well, ooh, that last part's one heck of a qualifier. Wow.
By the way, that's number one in case you aren't paying attention.
Yeah, number one, and there better be at least one, if not two, Heisman candidates on the roster at all times. And one of them needs to win it, by the way. I do think that what we've seen in this era of football and roster fluidity, that you can, the way I phrase it, is kind of microwave your program, where it's not this slow build, where you can snag some players, and not just from the high school ranks, as we've known, it's well documented everywhere, that you can grab some great players and build your roster pretty quickly. I didn't think Tennessee was ever coming back. I just didn't see, given the landscape, the competitiveness, the success of some of the teams that Tennessee was sharing a division at the time with, and just across the conference in general, what Alabama was doing, what Georgia had built towards, you're going, there's just not any room. And then we had last year. And I'm not saying it was entirely built in the portal, but we're talking about year two under a guy who's had head coaching experience, but not at the level that the SEC requires, and enjoyed tremendous success. So I do think it's possible. And, you know, the early part of June came in handy, where they're pulling down a bunch of commitments from four stars and now even a five star. But the trick is, the other side of the coin of this roster fluidity is, yeah, you can build it quick, and the rug can also get snatched out from underneath you. And signing guys out of high school isn't the same, doesn't mean what it used to mean. Yeah, they might show up. Are they going to stay? By the time they can actually get on the field, are they still going to be on your roster? Or did you just give them, you know, three hots and a cot for a couple of years, develop them, and now they're playing great football for somebody else? The trick will be, can you get them, can you keep them, and can you develop them? And I do think that we've seen that demonstrated with the elite programs, even with the transfer portal being what it is and the advent of NIL, that you still have to develop guys and you have to retain whatever talent that you were able to gain either via the portal or recruiting.
And that brings me to LSU. We had a guest on hour and a half ago, who, I mean, did not blink an eye predicting LSU to win the West. He said the only game he sees them losing is the Florida State game. They win at Alabama. They beat everyone else, which is fine. Everyone has predictions in late June, and none of them matter, except I'm using one to ask you the question, back to building this program. Yeah, Brian Kelly, you can fill in the rest of the sentence however you want, but how good are they, and is that prediction sound?
In June, very sound. Incredibly sound. Sign me up for the June prediction.
I don't see you putting your money on that prediction.
Sure. Look, to me, first of all, FSU is the only losable game on that schedule. I beg to differ. I do think you're one. With Brian Kelly, especially
at Mississippi State, at Ole Miss, at Missouri, Auburn, at Alabama, Florida, and nobody important.
No, none of those guys. I mean, you're talking about at Mississippi State. You know, you're facing one of the few teams with a known commodity, an accomplished commodity at quarterback, and some continuity for sure within that coaching staff. So, you know, I think that's the first game that I look at, actually, and incidentally, would be the most meaningful one. For LSU, far more meaningful than what they do or don't do versus FSU when it comes to the conference race. So to me, LSU looks like they could be a good football team, partly because of the stability that they will enjoy going into this season from a coaching staff standpoint, from a key roster position standpoint, most notably quarterback. But to just dismiss that schedule, which is a real kick in the pants and fun, easy to do in June, should they contend? They absolutely should. Could they? And I think the answer is yes. But there was nothing that we saw last year with any level of consistency that says that, yes, this program has now been able to accomplish what I think it clearly sought with the Brian Kelly hire, which is a higher bar and one that can be maintained when it comes to year-over-year achievement. We've seen LSU, boy, they are – more than capable of the highest of highs. I won't say that they're capable of the lowest of lows, but they sink back pretty quick. It's a whipsaw experience. It can be. It certainly was the case with Coach Ogeron. And then, you know, however many hours ago, we learned that they're vacating, 30-some-odd wins from the Les Miles era. You know, LSU doesn't want to do that anymore, it doesn't seem. I think that's what they're seeking to accomplish with Brian Kelly. One season, we have no idea if he's been able to do that. That'd be pretty remarkable if he had. That's a tough division for you to, in one season, be able to establish that, look, we've reset the floor for this program. You know, we're consistently going to be 10 wins. We're contending for conference championships. Certainly going to win the division year over year. There were times when they looked to be the part. Then they get shelled by Tennessee. You know, you lose the opener, and you easily could have won that game versus FSU. There were just some odd games throughout that season where you're going, right when you're ready to say LSU really is making great strides in year one, despite a division championship, they would find a way to kind of let you down and put together a lackluster performance.
Talking to Matt Stinchko, speaking of statements made in June, Matt, a year ago Nick Saban made the statement that had he had his two ace wide receivers against Georgia, that game could have been different, the national championship game I'm referring to. And then this June, he mentioned that he still doesn't understand how Alabama was left out of the CFP because he was told, he said, that Alabama would have been favored against at least three of the four teams in the college football playoff. I know that's quite a lot to digest, and we all know how great he is and his place in history, but I'm curious what you made out of his comments.
I mean, no, first of all, being favored in a game, as we all know, doesn't matter a ton. Alabama was favored in the two games that they lost, I believe.
Correct.
To LSU and Tennessee. And granted, the money might say that. The money's not always right. You know, sometimes the money's wrong. Sometimes the money's dumb. And I think we would all know that most of the time, what are they seeking to do when they set those lines? I'm no great sports bettor, and I certainly don't have all the insight. But I think it's how many points do I have to give you to get you to bet for the other side so we can get even money in this thing? And I'd be willing to bet that the majority of the betting public would need to get points against Alabama, just because, not because they're informed or they know what they're talking about, but because they'd be scared to bet otherwise. Maybe that's a smart position, I don't know. But it also is not one of the qualifications that I think the committee weighs when they're considering who gets in. But this is a great time to make these types of comments, mainly because for what you noted earlier, right? If you're going to do it in June. Talking seasons. These are the moments when I miss Coach Spurrier the most, being more prominent. I wish so much that there was a hot mic available somewhere so that he could weigh in, because this would just be fantastic theater. But this is the time of year to make comments like that.
Matt, since you're finally Georgia, we all know what's happened the last 2 years in spite of other people's opinions on what would have happened or should have happened, but you know the personalities involved. There's a lot of teeth gnashing over Mike Bobo taking over. There's concerns because Georgia fans have to be concerned as they go for a three-peat. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I've always used people's opinion of Mike Bobo as a play caller as an IQ kind of litmus test to see what box I want to put them in. And it's held up fantastically well. most folks do have an opinion. It's rarely a sound one, but every once in a while you'll stumble across somebody that actually recognizes it. This is not, first of all, I don't have any concerns whatsoever. I think it was very much a luxury for Georgia, one that, you know, Alabama's been able to enjoy as well, right? We've seen it where they've got a pretty deep bench from an analyst standpoint where you can lose a coordinator, a play caller, and just plug another one in, and one that's capable of putting you in a position to win the football game. Georgia, I think, enjoyed that same type of luxury. I've got zero concerns whatsoever with Mike as a play caller. In fact, I think it's a fantastic opportunity. He will have never had this much weaponry, but offensively. But the biggest piece is that I'm hard pressed to think of a team that possessed a defense as strong as the one that's been established at Georgia, even with the amount of talent that it continues to hemorrhage to the NFL. It's been recruited well on that side of the football. So, Mike, I think for the first time in a long time, really the first time maybe ever as a play caller at the University of Georgia, he will have at least some more margin to be coaching opposite a much stronger defense from a performance standpoint and a proficiency standpoint than he's had before. And we got to keep in mind, for comparison purposes, this is the first time in a long time where Georgia did not have a security blanket at a couple of key positions, and chief among those, quarterback, despite what many of the it's interesting because it's somewhat redundant, the common denominator, the Bobo detractors were often Stetson Bennett detractors. Stetson Bennett came in handy for three seasons, two of those with excellent results. This is the first time in a while where Georgia doesn't have a known commodity in the quarterback room. Whether they thought he should have been the starter or not, Bennett was always there and ultimately became the starter. It'll be different, and that's not a small thing when you're seeking, if you're seeking anyway, to compare year over year a new play caller to a departed play caller.
Dogs open the season against UT Martin, and I was about to say plenty of seats are still available, but that's not actually true. Matt, thank you. Always good to see you. Matt Stinchcomb dropping by here on a Friday afternoon. We head to the break right now. Your phone calls around the corner. Connor O'Gara a little bit later on. More conversation about what happened last night in Omaha. We've talked plenty about that already. And we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on a Friday afternoon, and we are heading to Jim next.
Paul, you know, I've been encouraged when I've done things, and it helps. I don't care whether you're good or bad. It always helps. But I want to encourage Roman to call back this show anytime and every time he will, because that's the most fascinating, enjoyable call I've heard on this show at least this year, I promise you. Roman was terrific. I mean, he was really great, Paul. And I know he was. And he's a better caller than I am, and I think he's better than anybody. Phenomenal call, Roman. Really great, and I hope you call back.
Well, that's nice of you to say, as one of the titans of this program.
Well, I didn't know how to allude to that, but I do know a lot about the call shows, and I think I got experience, as you well know, and I think I know, because I listen real well, I think I know what's good. His call was so... It gave me chills.
Jim, if we ever did like an American Idol of callers, you would be in the Simon Cowell role.
What does that mean? I'm not sure. I remember that show.
Well, he was the British guy who, when in the infancy of American Idol, when it was a legitimate show.
Oh, I remember that.
He would just destroy. They had some young singer on and.
He would destroy the poor guy
without really anybody noticing it.
Yeah, he tried to do that to one of his best callers, I mean singers, and the guy wound up winning it all. And Cal looked like an idiot, which he is sometimes, I think.
Well, he's long gone. I don't know what happened to him, but I can see.
Well, he was a comrade like us. He's one of the comrades.
That's true. Yeah, but I could see that would be a good show though. I don't know why the networks haven't picked up the caller show where you try to become a Feinbaum caller.
Well, again, don't you agree that Roman was absolutely fabulous?
Yeah, I thought he was very honest and he was sincerely looking for help.
And exactly, but he was also so well-spoken and articulate. And he sounded like he might have, I don't know how old he was. I mean, he might have been, I don't know. What do you say? I thought he was like 12 or 13.
Yeah, he was
young,
very young. And I'm glad you appreciated that.
Well, I absolutely loved it, and I just couldn't wait to talk about him. And it's always helped me when somebody would give me a compliment if I was good, and he was good. You were good, Roman, and thank you for the call.
Thank you. We go from Jim to Jeff. Mutt was unavailable.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, go right ahead.
I mean, when you and Jim are getting along and not attacking each other, you guys got unbelievable rapport. You know what?
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's we're on one of those days when everything is copacetic.
I mean, it's been this way the whole week. You guys are just on an unbelievable roll, and the rapport just comes through the radio, Paul.
True.
I mean, can you feel it?
I can feel it. I can taste it.
Hey, right. I think you played the clip for the TV audience, but not the radio audience. I was wondering if a caller... in the Feinbaum court of public opinion, if a caller, especially a Yankee caller, can subpoena phone records of another caller. Is that possible?
It's permissible according to Feinbaum law.
Okay, good. Because I want to subpoena that phone call that paralegal Augie made earlier this summer and late spring about his LSU baseball team. I mean... where he just ripped them apart, call them overrated? I mean, are you going to play that for the radio audience, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, yeah, and for those who are listening on radio, we did play a clip. It was only one of probably three or four different phone calls where Augie called the LSU team a fraud. He essentially said that the coach was worthless. And I think in one of his tweets, he described the players as bums.
Yeah. I mean, old Augie, the paralegal, he's got to get his stuff in order. He's probably writing up his script right now to kind of get out from under it. But
this is a baseball team that probably had the most dramatic win outside of I think a walk off in the championship game years ago that we've ever seen at the College World Series.
Right. Hey, Paul, I don't know the guy's name, but that caller yesterday was cracking me up. That was trying to rip on you for supposedly abandoning Nick Saban. Do you remember that call?
I do.
I mean, first, why are these Bama fans still bringing up that championship game from, what, almost 2 years ago where they had the receivers injured? I mean, hell, I get caught up and ripped because I bring up the game just less than 6 months ago when Marvin Harrison got a concussion. But, oh, that was a legal hit, even though he got a concussion somehow. I mean, he didn't get hit in the head, but he got a concussion. But they're still talking about that game, Paul. And doesn't this guy know that you're probably still going tubing on Saban's boat? I mean, you guys are still tight, are you?
Sure. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be tight with Nick Saban?
I mean, for real. I mean, I can see you on that tube this weekend behind Saban's boat, him pulling you around the lake. The other thing that's...
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.